you guys don't know me very well yet, but I like props, if you haven't figured that out in my preaching. And first week, the bread of life. Last week, the light of the world. This week, the gate is what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to invite you to turn your Bible to John chapter 10, but I'm going to do a little bit of groundwork first. I want to talk to you about John chapter 9, because you need to know John 9 to understand John 10. Now, I'm not going to read it to you today, because we'd have to read a couple chapters, and that would take quite a bit of time. But I would encourage you to come home and go home and read it this afternoon or sometime this week. So let me give you the gist of John 9. So Jesus, it's the Sabbath, which is on Saturday. So Jesus, he's in the city, and he comes across this blind man, and he can't see, and he was born blind at birth. And Jesus sees that, has compassion, and he spits in his hands and he makes some mud and he rubs it in this guy's eye. Now, when I was reading that, now I'm very type A and I don't like to be dirty. And the first thing I'm thinking, man, that would bother me, right? Somebody spit and put it in my eye and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, then he tells the guy, go to the pool of Siloam, which means sent, and wash your eyes. And he did. And he was healed and he could see. And then the Pharisees get wind of this, and they see that Jesus actually healed somebody on the Sabbath, which in the Pharisees' minds, he broke all the rules. You don't do anything on the Sabbath. How dare he, right? He's got to be a sinner. So they challenge the blind man, who is this guy that brought you healing? And of course, the blind man says, it's the prophet, Jesus. And they get into this argument. And so Jesus understands it. So I'm going to read just a little bit of chapter 9 to you this morning. But then we're going to roll into chapter 10. You're going to see what he has to say about spiritual blindness this morning and who Jesus is. So I'm going to start on verse chapter 9, verse 35. So you know a little bit of the story now, and here's where we're going to read on. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And went, by the way, they'd thrown him out of the church is what he's talking about here because he believed in Christ. He threw him out. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. And then he says this. Now notice how I start. Very truly, right? The truly, truly. I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate. Now let me just clarify that this is a parable that Jesus is speaking here. And you'll get to understand more of this when I get into my message this morning. But in their day, they would have gotten exactly what Jesus was saying, because this is how they lived life and they took care of the sheep and what was going on in their day. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he's telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life, and they may have it to the full. Reading of the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just give you praise this morning for your word. I pray that you bring that word to life through your spirit to us, that we may understand in a new and different way today. May it speak into our lives today, Lord, for those that have gathered here. Lord, I pray that these words are never mine, but always yours. And may you fill me with that same spirit this morning. In Jesus, I pray. Amen. Got a story that I want to share with you this morning. A few of you I know are sheep farmers in here, and you'll totally get this. But in case you're not, I want to share a story with you. And this is a true story, by the way. And so in Australia, there was a guy got caught stealing a sheep. You think, oh, no big deal. Well, the guy that caught him also had sheep. I'm assuming that was probably his neighbor. And so his neighbor said, well, you can't take that sheep. That's my sheep. And the guy that owned the sheep outright said, no, that's my sheep. So it went to court. And while they're in court, the judge is trying to figure out, well, how am I going to determine who's the rightful owner of this sheep? And so finally, after some argument and all this kind of stuff, the judge stopped and he said, bring the sheep in. So they go and they find the sheep, and they got the sheep in the courtroom. And the judge asked the plaintiff, who was not the rightful owner, you go outside, and I want you to call for the sheep, and I want to see what its reaction is. And the sheep didn't do anything, stood there. And so then he said to the defendant, who was the rightful owner of the sheep, he said, you go outside the door now, and you holler for the sheep, and we'll see what happens. And the sheep heard the voice and took right off out of the courtroom, right out the door to the owner of the sheep, the proper owner. And so that is so true today in our lives. When we follow Jesus Christ, if we know his voice, we'll follow Jesus Christ. And so that's where I want to start this morning. Now take note of the gate as well, that we get to experience that. If you, some versions, it'll say door. So it's the same thing, same principle, and you'll get that. But here's what I find quite interesting this morning. Of all the animals that God or Christ could compare us to, he compares us to sheep. Now, if I was to ask some of you sheep farmers in here, they would probably tell me that they're some of the smartest animals in the world, and they're also some of the dumbest animals in the world, right? Yeah, some of you get that and you understand that, know that. But let me remind you just a little bit of what a personality of a sheep can be like. I once owned sheep for one summer in 4-H project. That was it, just one summer. I never owned sheep again. But anyway, just think about this. Sometimes sheep aren't very smart. Sometimes you and I, we're not very smart, are we? In the way that we live our faith out in our spiritual lives. Sometimes sheep can be directionless. They don't know where to go. And so they need to be led. And usually there's a sheep that's kind of the lead or whatever. And sometimes, you know, I've seen trucks load sheep in the past, and they'll have a goat that will go on the truck and the sheep will follow them. But they need a shepherd. They need some kind of a leader because they don't know where to go. And sometimes in our lives, we can be directionless as well. Sometimes sheep get lost easily. They wander away from the flock. They wander away from the shepherd. How many of you have ever seen a sheep stuck in a fence? Right? How long will they stand there? Forever. Yeah, exactly. Stubborn, right? They don't understand. Maybe they just need to back up or twist their head a little bit and they could get out of the situation, but they don't always get it and understand that. And you know what? A lot of times that's like us in life as well. We get ourselves in situations that we fully don't understand or we don't know how to get out of, and we don't make the wisest decisions in our lives. But here's probably the most important thing. Sheep can't protect themselves. They need a shepherd to watch over them. They need to be protected from the enemy and whatever that might be. And so let me describe to you in Jesus' day, here's a picture of a sheep pen. They would have made it out of rocks, and they would have built up a wall around there, and they would have had one gate to the entrance of the sheep pen. And it was common in Jesus' day that shepherds at night, they'd have these sheep pens all over the countryside, and wherever they were grazing, they'd round up their sheep, they'd call them in, and at night they'd put them inside these pens. And there wouldn't be, usually there's no gate on the pen. There's one way in, but the shepherd would sleep across the gate so nothing could get in or out of there. And that's how they protected their sheep. And that's the way that they kept track of things, and they kept things organized, and they were safe in there at night. And so just keep this idea, this pen, in your mind as Jesus goes through this parable with us here this morning. So the only way in or out is through that one gate. And so we know that who's the gatekeeper there, the shepherd, but yet in this parable it's Jesus Christ. And so, and that's where I want to kind of pick up the story a little bit about sheep. Now, I want you to pay attention here to the things I'm going to say. Now, sheep, they don't follow a stranger. They don't recognize its voice. They know its master's voice. In fact, they will usually run away from a stranger's voice if they don't know who it is. So now you can kind of start to sort out Genesis chapter 9, which I told you about the Pharisees, who thought they had it religiously all figured out, right? Had all their rules. They confront this blind man and say, you know, this can't be the Christ. This can't be God the Father because of the way that he's healed on the Sabbath. That is not how it's supposed to be done. And so as Jesus begins to speak these words to them, when he says that thieves and robbers come in the night and they try to kill and destroy and so on, he's actually pointing a finger right at the Pharisees. They think they have it spiritually figured out, but they are so lost, they are so blind, is what he starts to approach them on. They're the ones that the sheep run away from. And the blind man basically ridiculed the Pharisees. Instead, he began to follow Jesus Christ. And there's no way that he was going to walk away from what he experienced, the way that he was healed in his life, and the things that he went through. And he stood up for Jesus Christ by all means and became a follower of Christ. And so here's where I want to pick up today. If you have your Bible open, we're going to be in chapter 10, verse 6. And here's what it says. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees didn't understand what he's telling them. Right? I said it's a parable. They would have related to the story of the sheep and the shepherd and the pen and the gate, and there's only one way in and one way out and whatever that is. They would have known it. But you probably also realize this morning, if you've been following me the last 3 weeks, that many times Jesus speaks and they don't understand. They're not connecting the dots. And so Jesus has to tell them a few times to explain this to them and the way this works. So he's speaking to this group of people who just claimed to be able to see, you know, I'm talking about the religious leaders here, those that were part of the church back then, but their inability to understand what Jesus was saying is just another example of spiritual blindness in their lives. And now jump with me to verses 7 through 10. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All come before me are thieves and robbers, right? Pharisees. But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. There's their I am statement, right? I am. I'm God the Father. I'm the Son. Sent by God the Father. And whoever enters through me will be saved, eternal life. Now, you get that. You understand that. And Jesus explains this parable to them. He says, I am the gate. I am the door for the sheep. And so there's two things I want to point out to you this morning about this parable, that this I am statement, that are real simple. You'll understand if you're a follower of Christ. Here's the first one, that God promises to protect us from harm. Now, I do not believe that is physical harm, but that is spiritual harm. You're going to encounter things upon this earth that physically are not going to go well for you, and that's just part of being a part of this earth and the sinful world we live in. You're not immune from those things because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, you should expect them just like everybody else does. But Jesus says here that I will protect you spiritually from the evilness of this world. They cannot touch your salvation. They cannot touch your soul when we're in Jesus Christ. So get this picture of the shepherds in the country at night in Israel as they sleep across the entrance to the sheep pen to protect the sheep. That's what Jesus does in your life, is he protects you, he watches over you in your life. Second, as the gate, he's the only way into the sheep pen. And I touched on this last week, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. There is no other way that you can get into heaven except through Jesus Christ. He then goes on to say that all others who have come before him, they're false shepherds. Be careful. They're not speaking the truth. They don't have it figured out. They don't understand who I am, right? These Pharisees are false shepherds. So those who belong to Jesus, he's the true shepherd. Do not listen to the voices of those Pharisees. And so you got a question I'm going to bring to you just in a little bit here, because these Pharisees are misleading people all over the place. And you know, this is one of the reasons why the Father sent Christ to earth, not only for our sins or salvation, but they're way off track. And they had to figure out, how do we straighten out what's going on here? Because the Pharisees think they got this thing figured out. And so Jesus drives this point home again. He's the only path to salvation. He's the only path to spiritual freedom. He's the only path to eternal life. And anyone else claiming to be the path or any of those things is a false prophet. It's a Pharisee. It's not real. It'll lead you in the wrong way. And so here comes your question this morning. What or whom are the Pharisees in your life that's leading you astray? That's pulling you away from the kingdom of God? Maybe your spiritual life, you might find it eroding from time to time. What is it that's doing that or causing that? And so I got some things here this morning that I want to kind of rattle your mind with this morning as you think about that question. Where are you drawing your information from for life as you make choices about different things? Where does your wisdom come from? What is your source? Is it a coworker or a friend who's not a believer? Is it a TikToker? Is that a word? A TikToker? I'm going to use it this morning. It is now. Right? Some of you young people, you said, what about a YouTube influencer? Right? We got so many YouTube influencers today that young people are following and they're watching these people. But if they're not spirit-led and they're not, they don't have faith in Jesus Christ, and they're feeding into your life, that's a Pharisee. And they're confusing you, and they're trying to pull you away. And this is what Jesus is saying in our day. Those are the Pharisees that we face. How many of you are Taylor Swift followers? Everybody's looking around. You see, I could keep rattling off names, couldn't I? What about Oprah Winfrey? Right? Some of you older people. I mean, I could really go way back. Remember Phil Donahue? Yeah, some of you are laughing and smiling. The young people are saying, yeah, that was our influencer back then in the 80s and 90s. Those types of people. But see, those can be Pharisees that you and I encounter in our lives that we listen to and we think, well, they're speaking about this. They must be right. But no, if they're not grounded in the Word of God and they're not filled with the Spirit, they're speaking lies to you. They might have some good stuff from time to time, but for the most part, if they're not followers of Jesus Christ and believers, you have to be careful, people. And young people today, it's so easy because you got your phone right there and you're being influenced by all kinds of things that come from what I believe are maybe even somewhat evil, satanic things. Now, I'm not saying your phone's a bad thing. It can be used for good as well. But you have to sort through it in life. And this is what Jesus is trying to drive home, is that you got to feed on me. That's got to be your source of information. This is where you have to be plugged in tight and understand what's going on in the world that you and I live in today. And we even have to be so careful as Christians, people, that you have to even be careful of what church you're in today. Are they preaching biblical truth from the Word of God, unapologetic, and laying it out there for what it is? They're not softening it. They're not trying to go easy on it. They're just preaching and teaching the truth. Because you got some Pharisee churches out there today as well that you need to be careful of. Joel Osteen's one of them. Not a fan of that guy. He's got thousands of followers. Prosperity gospel. Everything's good if you just follow Christ. I don't know about you, but I've had some difficult things to go through, and so have you in your life. See, the Bible teaches that life will be hard sometimes, but not in Joel Osteen's church. And so you have to be careful. You have to be aware of those things. So who are your Pharisees? Who's speaking into your life that you need to be watchful for, that you need to be aware of as you navigate this world? And it doesn't make any difference how old you are. You have to be aware of those things. And this is what I like, this next one is, Jesus says that, the Bible says that those who enter through Jesus, they find life. This time of year, how many of you love spring when the grass starts to turn green already, right? And you start to see some grass start to turn green already in some areas, and I'm thinking, wow, we're going to be mowing lawn here pretty quick. But here's the point that I want you to make in this morning is that means that you and I, we start on the outside of the sheep pen when you're born. You're sinful by nature. And so every one of us, we start on the outside of the sheep pen, meaning that we don't have salvation until the Spirit works in us and we give our life to Jesus Christ and we get into the pen through Jesus. All of us start on the outside. And as we're born, we search for a shepherd, and we're thankful that God finds us and God works in our lives and we come to that saving faith. But let me make this point to you this morning. I want to just drill down a little further on you this morning. Salvation that comes through Jesus is personal, right? My faith, but it's also, what's the word I want to use here this morning? It's not individual. How could I put this nicely this morning? In our society today, we are way too individualistic compared to other cultures in the world today. And that way of life bleeds into the church. It bleeds into the way that we live life. And let me just give you some examples about what this should look like, all right? And we don't talk about this enough in the church today. Some churches do really well at it. Some do not do so well at it. But if Jesus knows each of us by name, and he calls us into the pen, into the church, you are part of the flock. And you matter to your church. So here's what I want you to think about. If you're part of the church and you don't attend church, you're not part of the flock. How do you live life not being in the flock? You're so prone to the enemy when you're not part of the flock. Nowhere in Scripture does it say you can be a follower of Jesus Christ and you can live all on your own. You can do it. You're strong enough. In fact, the Bible says that God will never give you more than what you can handle. Well, guess what? You're never made to walk those things alone. You're supposed to be in the flock. You're part of the family. You're living life with those next to you and those behind you, and they know you well enough that they understand the things you're going through and the things that you need prayer for or encouragement for, and that's what Jesus intended. Flock. I like to call it the holy herd. The holy herd. It's a community in which each member is brought into the life of the church, into the life of God. You are part of the herd. You can't, and I'm going to hammer on those this morning that maybe I don't see often enough. But you can't join a church and then not show up because you really never joined it. And get this might even be harder for you. Just because your name's on the church roster doesn't mean you're in the pen. And that's what matters to me. Because if you're not in the pen, you don't have salvation. And the Bible's real clear for those that don't have salvation of where they go. That's pretty important stuff. So are you part of the flock? Are you living life with the herd? That's what Christ calls us to. So let's dig further into this. Let's answer this question this morning. What does it mean for us that Jesus is the gate for the sheep? I got three things that I want to bring to you this morning. First, sheep follow the voice of the shepherd, right? When we hear his voice, we know it. So how do we hear God's voice today? Right? Pretty simple question. Now, some of you will say that I can hear it audibly. You've had that experience that God will just speak audibly to you. And I've told you, I've never had that experience as a pastor. And I'm a little bit jealous. I'd love to have that someday, but that hasn't happened to me. But I know some of you said that. I've heard God speak to me audibly before. But that doesn't mean that you have any less faith. But here's where I think the most important way that God speaks today is through Scripture, through the Word of God. And here it is again, I'm putting it on you again, is that it's so important that you're in the Bible on a regular basis and understanding who this Christ is in your life. Because that's when he speaks to you in your time of need. And it might be in a time of great blessing and joy, and it might be a time when you're on your knees and you're crying your heart out because you don't know what to do about the situation you find yourself in. And God speaks in amazing ways through his word. And he does that by enlightening you through the Holy Spirit that it makes sense to you. The words just come to life. And by the way, I believe that he also speaks through your pastor to you. When you show up here on Sunday morning, you hear the word of God. And hopefully that it pertains to your life. Another way that I think that God can speak to you is through good Christian people that give you counsel. That good friend who's a believer in Jesus Christ and you know where their heart is, they can also give you great counsel that's biblical and sound, and I believe that God will speak through people as well. And that's what makes God personal. Jesus says in verses 3 and 4 that I am the gatekeeper who opens the gate for him. And the sheep listen to his voice. And so are you hearing him this morning as he speaks to you in life? I can find you so many passages on sheep and hearing his voice in Scripture. If you read the Psalms, it's full of it. Let's go to the second one here this morning. Second, sheep run away from strangers, thieves, and robbers. Right? Now I want you to think about the blind man. After he's healed, he recognizes who Jesus is. He understands, he gets it, and I can only imagine that the Holy Spirit also moved in him and he became a believer. And then after he found Jesus, there's no chance he's going back to the Pharisees. Done with that. Right? I'm moving on. I know what the truth is now. It's Jesus Christ. And so I have a second question for you this morning. What are some things in your life that you need to be, done with that? It does me no spiritual goodness at all. What are those things today? Done with that. Right? I want you to go home and I want you to think about that in your life here this next week and think about all the extra stuff that's keeping you too busy or the things that don't feed into your life that aren't spiritual, that aren't from God, the Pharisees. And I just want you to think about those things and say, I'm done with that. And maybe take that time and maybe dig more into Scripture and becoming more aware of who Christ is in your life. Done with that. We have to be careful. Speaking of sheep love grass, don't they? There is some tasty looking grass out there in the world today that you and I like to follow possibly that does not come from Christ. Earthly things. So I got my own parable I want to share with you today, an illustration, all right? Now many of you know that I was raised on the farm, and I still do some farming today, and Levi's living out in our place here, and I've always started a lot of calves, and still do yet with him. Start calves, small calves, 200-pounders. And here's one of the key things that I found out, and you farmers, you'll get this right away, but here's the key to starting a good calf, is that you give them some good grass hay, all right? It doesn't smell, it's green, it kind of smells sweet, it's dry, it falls apart. And I thought about, you know, I even thought about hauling a bale of hay in here today and just setting it in here, but all I had was big squares. So that wasn't going to work very good because it takes 10 of us to get it in here. But here's my point today. If you think about life and you think about, what does it take to start that young calf off right, to get it to grow, that it will fatten up and someday will be the choicest, tastiest ribeye that you can eat, right? You've got to have good feed source to it. And so it's no different in your, let me back that up just a little bit, sorry. It's no different in your spiritual life. If your feed source is the junk hay of the world, right? Moldy, muddy, dirty, because a calf, they'll sort through it. They won't eat that moldy stuff or that junk hay. They want the good stuff. And your spiritual life should look the same way. You need to have the good hay, the good stuff of Jesus Christ from the Word of God to feed you, that you may grow to maturity in your faith walk. Some of you will never look at hay the same way again. But in your spiritual life, you need to watch your feed source. Because if you're following thieves and strangers, you're eating some of the worst hay out there. And it will not go well for you. Third, sheep enter through the door to find safety and pasture. I like that safety and pasture. What safety? That you are spiritually protected. That you can't lose your salvation. What's pasture to you? When God says, you will find pasture. All right? Now, if you're a sheep and you like to eat grass, what Jesus is simply saying to you and I is that when you find me, you're going to find life. It's going to fulfill you. You're going to be satisfied. Discontentment will be gone in your life. That's pasture. That's blessings. So let me ask you this question this morning. Are you in the sheep pen? Because that is what matters. Are you part of the flock? Or the herd? Or the family of Jesus Christ? Are you safe? Are you free? And do you have abundant life? That's what Christ can offer you today. And maybe you might be a follower of Christ most of your life. And maybe you find yourself a little ways away from the pen. But I'm asking you today, just come back. Come back to the flock. Come back to the shepherd. That you may be renewed, restored in your life. Let me close with Psalm 118, verse 20. It's on the bottom of your screen. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. And of course, that speaks of Jesus Christ. I'm assuming this is David speaking here, but it says, I will give you thanks for you answered me. You've become my salvation. See? This verse speaks to the people in the pen, those who found Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And my prayers is that you also have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you constantly challenge us in our lives. It's not always easy to walk with you for the things that you lay out before us and the things that we encounter and go through and experience in this world. I'm thankful that in Scripture you say that you just walk right beside us all the time. Lord, that you watch over us, you protect us. Lord, I want to pray today for those that are on the outside of the sheep pen today, that maybe haven't given their life to Christ. They might even be on the church roster, Lord, but in their hearts, they maybe haven't fully done that yet. So I pray today that your Spirit will move in them in a great way. Lord, I pray for those of us that are in the pen, those of us that call you as Lord and Savior, that, Lord, that you've given us life. I pray, Lord, that we can be renewed and we can be refreshed by you this morning in the world that we face every day. Lord, may your goodness just wash over us and fill us. And Lord, I pray too for your church, for this family. Lord, that we continue to draw closer and closer together. Lord, I know there's a lot of walls from time to time, a lot of differences. Lord, a lot of different opinions about things. Lord, you know all those are earthly things. Help us to sort through that and look past those things, that we may be one body in Jesus Christ. Lord, may our focus remain on you, not on our problems. And maybe the things that distract us and pull us away. And so may our lives just be a witness to that, of who we go to for our source of feed, but also for spiritual nourishment, Lord. May we seek you in our lives, and may we find you. Lord, so may you bless your people today. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen.